Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 13th of September, recording at, oh my goodness, 9 p.m. British Summer Time. Not too summery over here today, though. Well, what about these markets? First, I hope you enjoyed that debate that I posted on stock markets in the subscriber's comment of the day. And stock markets seem to be the most absorbing subject at the moment for most investors, although bonds are pretty interesting as well, and I'll get onto those in a minute also. But first on these stock markets, the amazing resilience of this rally continues to impress and to baffle many investors. Not us, fortunately. As you know, things have been looking up ever since those dramatic upside T-day reversals that occurred in Europe and the upward dynamics that we saw on Wall Street from around the middle of last month, starting actually I think in the early in the second week as far as the US indices were concerned. And subsequently, stock markets haven't put a foot wrong here in this rally, which is just steadily marched up through overhead supply. However, of course, these rallies are approaching some Rubicons, not least in the form of the year's high for the European indices and the US indices. Now, a lot of people are nervous, a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines, a lot of people have cash, but what we've seen so far is short covering, and then we have seen, as the troops return from holiday, we've seen a bit of long buying, and I think this is gradually metamorphosing into momentum buying, and I sense my take on the sentiment, and I'd be really interested in your sense of this as well, particularly those of you who have considerable access to institutional clients, is that there are a lot of white-knuckled types out there who are sweating this rally and not wanting to chase it on the way up, but also increasingly concerned that they're missing out on some near-term performance. So you know what happens usually. Once all those people have jumped back into the market, or the majority of them have at any rate, then we get a decent correction. But I won't say any more about that at this stage, except the bottom line here for everything I do in terms of market timing: go with the flow until we see a very clear downward dynamic on the stock markets. That could occur tomorrow, although that's certainly not a forecast. What I mean is that could occur any time or not for some time. So again, when you get a consistent trend, as you've heard me say so many times, and one of the hallmarks from the chart seminar, a consistent trend is a trend in motion. And for stock markets, these are trends in motion. Now, you know, I doubled up my Nikkei long position, which I bought earlier last week. I wish I'd been here at the beginning of August, but hey, I'm not going to cry over those lost opportunities. And I wouldn't even mention it again. But having bought the Nikkei first early last week and then seen it pull back, I then doubled up that position on Friday, and we had a nice jump on the upside, up just over 1.5%, or some 169, nearly 170 points on the Nikkei. Well, I'm not feeling rich yet from that position, but it's in overall profit. And given what some of the other stock market indices are doing, if I see that push ahead a few more 100 points, I'll probably put in an in-the-money, which would be a stop, which would be a financial stop in all probability rather than a highly technical stop, and I would only chance that if markets are trending upwards very, very consistently. May also be a technical stop as well, we'll have to see. But I would then look to leverage the position up a bit. Now, why would I do that? And you know I've done that I'd done that before. I did that plenty of times last year, and even a little bit at the beginning of this year for some indices. Why might I do that? Well, I am mightily impressed by the way these emerging markets continue to forge ahead. Emerging Asia looks terrific, and of course, as you know, I have a number of positions there, mainly in India, followed by Thailand, and then Malaysia. Now I notice that some of the reports, so Christopher Wood's Greed and Fear and others, are lowering their previous overweight position in Thailand and increasing weightings in, well, they've done it in India and Indonesia and now Malaysia. I think Thailand's fine. I'm happy to hang on to that position. I don't think it'll be left behind for very long, but obviously there are sort of swings and roundabouts. The sentiment goes in these markets. And by all means, have a look at that chart that I put up of the Philippines index, because that's just blasted up out of here. Now, you know my view. Emerging markets are lead indicators. They're not going to go up unless they get a benevolent, or they're not going to go up all that much unless they get a benevolent environment occurring from Wall Street for the most part. But we have more than a benevolent environment from Wall Street right now. And then the other factor are the bank shares, and I did put up a bank index here today. They certainly are leading indicators in my book, and they have been romping in here. So that makes me feel that if all those emerging markets can go through to new highs, and we are seeing this steady upward march in the North American and European stock market indices, why shouldn't the Nikkei have a nice little run in here? And people say, well, you know, that the economy's not doing all that well and there's still deflation there, and there's the China slowdown, that means Japan will be selling less to China. Well, hey, all those concerns will vanish overnight if that market starts to perform a little bit more strongly. And I suspect it will. Okay, what else we got here? Bonds. One little clue on the great mystery here. Bonds continue to push higher. Is it a great mystery? Well, I'm surprised that the government bond markets have rallied as much as they have. Heck, I'm often surprised by markets. But overall, it still looks like top formation extension to me. And as I've mentioned before last week, that I did feel that the U.S. bond market and the JGBs were getting up into areas where any additional near-term gains would be difficult to maintain. And I'm still looking for a short opportunity. I held off on that key because it was a slightly suspect key the way it evolved, as you know, as I was saying all last week. I'm talking about the key a week ago Friday. And when I say I'm still looking for a selling opportunity, I'm not going to do it if the overall evidence says that this current trend is still intact, albeit becoming a bit more choppy. So I'm holding off, but my next move on those government bonds will be to sell short. But I'm not going to do it, say, until the chart looks right to me. But to the point that I think I'll be able to post something on this tomorrow, it appears that at least one fund happens to be victim of a bear squeeze here, and that's hardly surprising. So that's contributing to the move, and then of course we had investors who were buying bonds because they were worried about the stock market. If they come rushing back into stocks, as I suspect we may well see, then some of those bonds are almost certainly going to get clipped. Okay, in the currency markets, I'm on the fence here. Nothing much is going on. These are little tight ranges, and I'm glad I'm not doing anything in the currency markets. Enough said. In terms of the commodity markets, well, having been embarrassed by my aluminium short yesterday, well, I'm still embarrassed by it, but it's little bit better in here today, and I still think these metals markets look a bit suspect short term. Remember, I'm a big bull as far as the longer term is concerned, but short term, these things are awfully volatile, and if the charts don't look very positive, then I'm very wary about the scope for either underperformance or what I think could happen easily with these industrial metals is to get a significant shakeout. If that doesn't happen, it'll be because I misunderestimated them, to quote George Bush in another context. And also because there's all that liquidity sloshing around. And of course, a number of them still have backwardations, although not the aluminium that I sold short. Coffee, nice upside breakout. I'll probably put up a chart on that. I still own that, and but I bought too soon when December coffee had taken a beating. And I've got the Arabica contract. I think it's the Arabica one. I'm getting tired now after 9 o'clock, but I've got the U.S. contract. And just to tell you what that did, because I know a number of people are interested in that. That closed up 3:15 at 77.35, and that was an upside breakout, breaking through a little bit of lateral resistance at 75. Now that's a commodity that, say, I bought it when it looked bombed out, and it just got more bombed out. And but I held on to it, feeling that this was well supported by a largish base formation overall. But it certainly got more oversold than I expected. And then while I was away, there was a big upside key day reversal marking the bottom of that reaction. It was last month, and you will have seen Owen's comment on that, and he would have put up a chart. He did put up a chart on it. So, coffee, I'm resisting the temptation to run away even because it looks fine. Looks to me like it could go higher. But these agricultural commodities have been difficult to play overall, as you will certainly know if you've participated. And I think that's pretty much it. Oil was up a bit higher, evidently. The latest hurricane has shifted on its path and looks like it might actually miss Florida, moving into the Gulf of Mexico and up into Louisiana. That helped firm natural gas, where I've got another stale bull position. And that's it, folks. Have a good evening.